Stambler.
Good morning, everybody. You'll notice my glasses are perched on my nose, on my forehead. This brings me to the Shiloh that was once asked. You know, there's a sefer written about Shiloh that come up in Yeshiva Brockman's dorms, all sorts of mixing of milk and meat. And the Shiloh is that the person who he doesn't have a spoon and he uses his glasses to stir his coffee and his tea, whatever. He uses one side for fleshik and the other side for milchik. He mixes it up and he stirs his coffee with the fleshik side. What is the halacha of that coffee? So you have to remind me, because usually I forget the side I started off with, so remind me to come back to that question. But what this brings us to is the whole shaila of when you have parav food that is cooked in a fleshik pot or in a milchik pot, using it for the other min. And it's a very common shaila, and it's nogeh not only to what happens to the eved, but also the chatzkila, what is the right hanhoga, how to do this. Quite often, once Diane Krauss told me on a particular shaila, he said, yes, technically speaking it's allowed, but that's not the way you run a kitchen. So you have to know, in terms of practicalities, how to run a kitchen. We don't do it like that, but there can be situations, for example, on a summer holiday, you haven't got things available, where the things are different. So let's go and start with the principle, the main idea behind what is known as noisen tam bar noisen tam. Or as people usually say when they're learning nat bar nat, but Dan Westheim Zechon Roche complained and used that. He said, we call it noisen tam bar noisen tam. So you give it the proper word. I remember we were learning all about Hatzmona and Shia and Chazon and Shabbos, and there's a concept of Grufa Ukutuma, and one of the Hebraicum called it Guk the whole time, and it irritated me slightly, this word Guk. So Nat by Nat, but Noit in Tam by Noit in Tam. So, the Issa of Basa and Cholav, having Basa and Cholav together, is not only when it's actual milk cooked with meat, but even if one substance is actual milk and the other one is only the tam, the taste of it. So, the classic example, if you cook meat in a milky pot, is that meat also or not? Right, okay, so it's also if the pot is a ben yomo, it's been used for the other type within the last 24 hours, then it's going to make the meat that was cooked in also because the tam of the milk inside the pot comes out into the meat and us of the pot. And that's true even if it's completely clean. That is because since the pot has absorbed the tam of the milk from the previous cooking, and it's within 24 hours, it's still ben yomoi, and it comes out, it goes straight to the meat, it osses it. And the same would apply in reverse. Similarly, if you take meat and you soak it in milk for 24 hours, that's also, that will osser both the milk and the meat because of kovash. Is that midraisa or midrabanan? So kovash is one of the chidushim of basa v'cholav. The Gemara says basa v'cholav is a chidush because if you soak it all day long and it takes in the taste, midraisa is not called basa v'cholav because the Torah says a lashon of bishul, lo savasel. So it's only if it's mavushal, but not if it's kovash. But still, since midrabanan is also, you still can't have it. But midraisa, it would be botel, it would be mutter, provided you don't cook it afterwards. Because you take this milk, this piece of meat that's been absorbed with milk, and then you cook it afterwards, you'll be over then on basa v'cholav d'oraisa. But if it's just been kovash, then it's only a drabonin.
So is that raw meat only, or even cooked meat?
Even cooked meat. The shayla whether it's bishul acha bishul by basa v'cholav. But here, the meat, although it's been cooked, hasn't been cooked with milk yet. So definitely, even if it's been cooked, if you now cook it together with milk, you'll be over an issa d'oraisa of the bishul itself, even without eating it.
Even if you put it in your mouth, meat and milk, you don't make a vegetable as long as
the
rabbonah, according to what
he said. Yes, yeah. So to eat milk and meat together, have a salami and butter sandwich, it's also mit rabbonah, yes. It's a strict rabbonah, but it's only also mit rabbonah. Mit rice, it's only the boss of a challah that's actually cooked together, or fried, or roasted together. Now, up to now, so we've discussed if you cook milk in a fleshik pot, or vice versa. Now, what about if you have something parav, which is cooked in a fleshik pot or a milchik pot, you want to have it with the opposite type. So this is a machlokis rishonim. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin, daf kuf yud alef amal beis, says, itma dogim she'alu bakara. Fish, which came up, was served in a plate, said, fleshik plate is a clean plate, and you've served the fish, put it hot onto this fleshik plate. What the halacha? Rab ama osa la'achla b'kutuk. Rab says you can't have it with kutuk. Kutuk was this paste, a milky paste. You can't have it with kutuk. Shmuel ama muta la'achla b'kutuk. Shmuel says it's muta. Rab ama nosin tam hu. It's nosin tam. It's a tam of the meat. You put it on the meat, fleshik plate, it gives a tam, it's osa. Shmuel ama muta. Nosin tam ba nosin tam hu. This Shmuel says muta. Now, what is the halacha when you have machlokes Rab and Shmuel? How do we paskin? But Shmuel dini, if it's dini, it's mominus, that's Shmuel. And if it's isser, it's Rab. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about isser. So the halacha should be like Rab. However, the Gemara later on says a ma'aseh with Chizkiah, where it's clear that he took on that that halacha was like Shmuel. Therefore, we pass it like Shmuel. So we pass it like Shmuel. The nosin tam ba nosin tam is muta. So that means you cooked the dog in this fish, which olu, which put on a plastic plate. You're allowed lechatchila to go and have it with kutach, with milky. Right. That's now the question is, it says olu, it was put on a plate. What happens if it wasn't put on the plate? It was actually cooked. Right. So this is a machlokis for shoinim. Is this heter only by olu or even in the special? Rashi holds it only applies by olu, but not in the special. If it's actually cooked, then you're not allowed to have it with kutach. You can't have it with kutach. What's the halacha lemaisa? So you look in the Shulchan Aruch, because I'm often answering questions for Sfadi Olam. I've come used to the idea. You've always got to remember. We tend to go to the Ramah. We know the halacha and the Ramah. But if you're asking for somebody Sfadi, you've got to know clearly what the Machaber holds. And it's very interesting actually what the Machaber holds in this. It's clear that he holds his mutter, but regarding lechatchila to do it, we'll see in a minute. So the Machaber says here in Siman Tzadi Hei, dogim shenispashlu or nitzlu b'kederish labosa. He talks about fish that's being fried or it's being cooked. Rechutza, it's very clear, it's clean. There's no actual mamoshes there. It's clean. It's just a question of the time in the kedera. Shein shum and dovuk bo. There's no smearing of fat on it. Muta la'achla b'kutach. You're allowed to eat it with a milky kutach, but should have a nosin tam ba nosin tam. And then in the next sif, he says the same thing with you've got eggs. Now eggs, if you cook eggs with fleshik, you take eggs out of a shalot, you can see that it's got fleshik mamash. So that's mamash fleshik. But if you've got eggs which are cooked in a power of pot that has just been used for meaty before, then the Mechaber says you could take those eggs and you could stuff a chicken with those eggs. And the Ramah says, v'yish ma'achirim b'tzriya u'bishul, some ma'achir when it comes to roasting, frying, or cooking, less or no sin tam ba no sin tam, to forbid no sin tam ba no sin tam, ba ha-minhug, this is the Ramah, minhug, less or lechatila, os lechatila, or b'diyeven mutis, os lechatila, to do that. In other words, you can't take this food that's been cooked or fried in a clean fleshik pot and put it with your milk. You can't do it lechatila, but b'diyeven, if it got mixed in already, then it's mutter. That is the psak of the Ramah. Now, the Mechaber holds its mutter, but the Ramah holds its osa. However, if it's olu, if it was just put hot fish onto a meaty plate, then, since one was hot and one was cold, it wasn't cooked together, then the Ramah is maskim that once it's happened, you're allowed to go to chatzila and put it with your kutach. You can go and have it with milchiks. Okay? So that is the halacha, the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So we Ashkenazim, we follow the view that lechatchila we cater for Rashi, and we will not eat para food that's been cooked in the meaty pot together with milk. But p'dieved, if it's happened already, then we're somech on the Rov HaPoskim hold that the het of the Gemara applies even with nispashlu. Now, the Marshal is more strict and holds that when it comes to tzliya, when it comes to frying, it's worse. And even v'dieved, if it was mixed in, it would be also. Can you suggest why it would be worse with frying than cooking?
It's a more aggressive form of heating.
It's a more aggressive form of heating. And also another point.
Water.
Yeah, there's no water. Well, the water acts as a sort of dilution that comes out from the pot into the walls, and from the walls into the potatoes or whatever it is. Right. But here, we're actually frying them, so it's more direct. And we don't pass on at the Marshal, but the Marshal would hold it would be b'dieved, it would even b'dieved, it would be osa. Okay, so now, even though we're bachmi lechatchila, not to eat para food, which is cooked in a meaty pot with milk, that's only regarding with eating it on one plate with milk. But when it comes to having in a milky meal, that's okay. So the other way around as well. You could have it with a milky meal. So for example, let's say you've got gefilte fish and you want to have it in your Shabbos meal, but it was cooked in a milky pot. You're allowed to take it and you can put it on the fleshic plates and have it at the fleshic meal. And obviously it's not going to make you fleshic eating such a thing like that. Or you could have a pyre of cake that was baked in a milky pot and have it for dessert after a meaty meal. Okay? Now, eggs or vegetables which are being cooked in a meaty pot can even lechatchila be put onto a meaty plate when they're hot. Right? You're allowed to put it on the plate. We only ask the lechatchila to mix it with meat itself. But there is a restriction that you're not allowed to pour it directly. So you can't pour it directly from a meaty pot onto a milky plate. But indirectly, we're using a ladle, you're allowed even to take it and put it on milky plates. Is that clear? Shall I recap what we said so far? Yeah, okay, right. So, we said so far that if you, the Isser of Bosel v'Cholov doesn't only apply to mamash milk and meat, it also applies to cooking meat in a milky pot that's got the ta'am of the milk in the pot. But when you're cooking parav, or frying, or placing parav into a pot, that is less strict. Why? Because then the taste of the meat that went into the walls of the pot now comes out into the parav, and as yet there's no milky in sight, nothing milky in sight. So now what the taste has come out into the potatoes or the pasta is secondary taste. It's nosentam from the meat which went into the pot, and now from the pot back out into the pasta. That's nosentam ba nosentam. We said that Rav in the Gemara says it's Osir and Shmuel says Mutter. That means, according to Shmuel, we pass it like Shmuel, it's Mutter to take this pasta and have it with milky. The problem is the Gemara is talking about a case of Olu, which means that it was a hot piece of fish put on a fleshic plate, and that you can have with milk. What happens if it was actually cooked? So some Rishonim hold it doesn't apply in that case. That there, you wouldn't be allowed to take it and put it with milk because it was cooked. It wasn't just placed, one hot, one cold. It was cooked. And therefore, according to those Rishonim, it would be also to have it with milk. What's the halacha of the Maaseh? The main halacha is its mutter. The Machaber holds like that. And the Ramah is machmir lechatchila. So that means, according to the Machaber, if you're Sephardi, you could even... let's go back one stage. If it was olu, if it was a fleshic thing put onto a milky plate... Sorry, stick back. Parav thing put onto a fleshic plate, and you want to have that parav thing now with milkic, you definitely could have it, because it was a situation where one was hot, one was cold, that's definitely allowed. If, however, it was cooked, or I should add, microwaved also would have the same thing, if you've got parav thing cooked in a fleshic pot, to have that with milkic, the Machaber holds that's allowed, to have it with milkic, the Ramah says, you shouldn't, since it was cooked, not just placed, it was cooked in a fleshic pot. You shouldn't have it with milkics. But the Eved, if it's already happened, then you're allowed to eat that food. Okay? This is all talking about Ben Yomo. Okay. All of this is when the pot is a Ben Yomo. It's been used, or the plate has been used for the last 24 hours for fleshic.
Has the microwave got in a bishul?
A microwave has the same halach as bishul for these purposes. It's not hotter than bishul, no. But it has the same halacha. But what it does, it means that in the old days you used to assume, like if you got a mug, let's say a spoon that you stir something in the mug. This is the mug. You're saying the mug is Kaili Sheni already. You can't be sure nowadays because somebody can take, they can actually take the mug, put it in the microwave, and heat it up, and then it's got the din of a Kaili Rishon. Okay. So that is. Let's have a look at the time. Okay, so that is as what we've said so far. Okay, now even though lechatchila you're not allowed to cook para food in a milky pot, which is not ben yomo, if you want to eat it with meat, right? This is now when it's not a ben yomo. You can't lechatchila say, "Oh, I'll go and cook it in this ain't a ben yomo pot," in order to have it with milkic. If it's already been cooked, you are now allowed to go ahead in case of need and eat it with the other min, with other types. So we have a kula here of a pot which is not a ben yomo, of a pot when a ben yomo. What do I mean? When a pot which is ben yomo, even if you've already cooked the para food, you're not lachatchila allowed to go and have it with the opposite type. Right? So I have a ben yomo pot in which I cook my fish. I'm not lachatchila allowed to go and put it with the milk, but if I did, then bedevid it be mutter. Not going into sakana issues here, because there's one of the interesting points, by the way, is that in this Gemara, it speaks about the fish. It's talking about fish putting it on a fleshy plate, having it with milk. And there's a whole discussion here. What can we learn out here about this, the issurim of fish with meat, and fish with milk? The Taz says that the Gemara is not discussing that, so you can't bring rise from here. But by the way, the halach lemaisa is, we do not worry about bleas of fleshiks in a pot when it comes to fish. There's no problem. You don't have to cook your fish duck in a paraf pot. You can cook it in a fleshik pot, even a ben yoma pot, and there's no problem of it, the fact that it's got the bleas now of fleshiks. That it's too weak to make a problem when it comes to sakana. Right, however, so let's get back to this. So the difference between a ben yoma and an eina ben yoma. If it's a ben yoma, lechatchila, having cooked in it already, I'm not lechatchila, according to the Ashkenazim, allowed to go and have it with the opposite min, but b'di'eved, if it's mutter. If, however, it's an eina ben yoma pot, although I shouldn't use it lechatchila, knowing that I'm going to use it with the other min, but if it's happened already, I'm now allowed lechatchila to go and have it with the other min. I've used my eina ben yoma pot for cooking my pasta, and it was at fleshik eina ben yoma pot. I'm now lechatchila to take the pasta and put cheese in it. Okay, so that's the difference between a ben yoma and an eino ben yoma. Okay.
You can't lechatchila use that pot.
You can't lechatchila use the pot
on an eina ben yoma.
No, you can't. But in cases of need, they do allow this. Again, in case of need, they do say that if you haven't got anything else available, then you can use any benyo pot for one time. So let's say, for example, you've gone on holiday and I haven't got a milchik or a power of pot. I've only got the fresh pot. And any benyo, I'm allowed to use it. But we didn't do this in your kitchen. That's not the way you run a kitchen. But if you didn't have anything else, you would be able to do so. There's an interesting heter that the Chai Odom. One of the things sometimes happens is you've got a Shabbos urn and you get a little a spattering of milchiks or fleshiks on it. So let's say fleshiks spattered on the Shabbos urn, and there's a problem because you've got you want to use it for the water inside it for milking. So he allows. Usually there'll be shishim against it, right? It will be shishim against it. But you should say that the pot now should need kashering because it's got a bit of fleshiks. That little bit there is fleshiks. So he combines a few heterim. He says, if it's eina ben yomoi, and since it's a keli, which you normally use, b'shefa, there's a keli shadarka l'shtamash b'shefa. You normally use a keli in a large amount. You always were going to have shishim against that little spattering. He says you don't have to kasher the pot because of this combination of various heterim. Okay. About using the pot. Well, the water, if you've got shishim against the spattering, you could even use that water now because it's shishim against it. Right? Do I have to cash the pot? Do I say it's a fleshy pot now? So I have to cash it. The Chachmas Odom says, no, you don't have to because of the combination of these factors. It's Eina Ben Yomoi, which you're cooking parav in it, right? You're not cooking milk in it, you're cooking parav in it. Eina Ben Yomoi, and it's. It's also keli which you use for shefa. You always use the keli with lots in it. You're always going to have shishim, so therefore you don't need to kasher it.
Does it matter when we talk about bleas, you imagine it's the inside of the pot.
Right.
Here, when it's splattered onto a Shabbos kebab.
Right.
It sounds different.
It's because it's got on the outside. Excellent, excellent point. They're very interesting. The halacha is that it goes through. Right. And there's a whole sim in the Shulchan Aruch about when you're cooking in a fleshik pot, you buy the trolley pot and you get a drop of milk going there, and a very complicated sugar there about that. One of the problem is that when it hits the pot, if you said it goes straight inside, so if you've got shishim against the drop that fell on the outside, you'll be okay. But the problem is there's a sophic in the worry, maybe it spreads out. So if it spreads up sideways, so you've got this pot with all the fleshik belias, all the fleshik taste absorbed inside it, and the drop falls there, so the drop then spreads out and could make all the fleshiks in there around about it into the vela. In there, and then could make the food inside also 60 times against itself. So one drop came in there, spread out, so that it's 60 times against it, and then forbids the food on the inside. That's the sugya there. But you see, it goes through it. Okay. Now again, we must stress here: we're talking about where the pots are clean. Okay. If para food was cooked together with meat, mamash meat, then that food is considered fully fleshik, right? So if I can't take a potato out of the shot and say, oh, well, it's a nosentam. Nosentam is when it goes through a keli and then back out into paru, but not when it goes directly into the food. Another example, if you fry meat in oil and then fry chips in that oil, right, you can't have those chips with milk. One of the shies you often get is the fleshic restaurants like JS. I'm applying for JS here. So Jewish had to assume that the... sorry, I forgot that we've got someone in the competition. What? You never took up my option. Years ago, you put out an advert for a new deli, right? And I said, what was the obvious name for this new deli? Menachem David's deli. We've got David's deli. I'm Menachem David's deli. You didn't take me up on it. Right, so... So they're talking about the chips. You can't have those chips with milk if you fry the chips with oil, which you fry meat in there, and those chips actually make you fleshic, because you say when you fry the meat, the taste of the meat, the fat of the meat comes out, and that's gone into the chips, so that would make you actually fleshic. Whereas if you just had, say, a potato that's been cooked to get the meat, it may not actually make you fleshic, but here with the chips it would be. This, we have to stress here that we're always talking here about where you start off with something which is kosher. You've got meat which is kosher, which has gone into the walls of the pot and out into your pasta. Then you've got a din of no sin tam, ba no sin tam, of heter. But if you start off with iser, if it was treif meat, then you've got no chokmas and no etzes. If you've got treif meat, it goes into the walls of the pot and it comes out into the pasta. That pasta is osa, finished, no question about it. And if you took that pasta and you cooked it in a kosher pot, that pot's osa. And if you cooked the kosher and took that kosher pot, entered out the pasta and cooked more pasta, that would also be osa. You may well get to a point where you've got shishim against it, but that's another point. But we're stressing here that the whole issa here, the whole heta here, is no sin tam, ba no sin tam de hetera. Okay? It's interesting that there's a couple of other cases of this concept. Tosas on the Suga brings an interesting case like this. The Gemara talks about the problems, the practical problems of the Beis HaMikdash, of how you cooked. You've got a problem that just like food has a sell-by date, so a korban has an eat-by date, and after that it becomes osa. So you're cooking, you're shomim. Yesterday someone shechted shomim. Now shomim, yesterday shomim could be eaten yesterday, last night and today until the end of today, until sunset today. So I'm cooking my shlomim. Now this shlomim is a time bomb, because tonight it's become osa. So I cook my shlomim. Now, tomorrow I'm going to cook some more shlomim. The shechter today, right? Or today or tomorrow. But the problem is, it's got now the taste in it.
But
what? Oh, but not lachatchila. You can't use an eidah ben yomai lachatchila. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kol yom v'yom nasa giyul l'chaveru. Each day is considered kashering for the previous day. When you cook today, it kashers from yesterday. It takes out the blizz. But the problem is, why? So you cook today, it's kashered it, it's taken the blizz out. But what's happened to those blizz? What have they done? Well, they didn't just stay in the pot. They went back. When I said they didn't just stay in the content of the pot, they went back inside. Right, tomorrow when I'm cooking, I'm using bleers that have been in there, they come out, gone back in again, and by now, by tomorrow, they're already osa. So the answer is, it's the same heter, Tosafot says, no sin tam, ba no sin tam. Right? Because the bleers that came in, they were in the wall of the pot, when they came out, at that point, they were still kosher, because they were still within the time limit for those shomim. When they go back in, it's no sin tam, ba no sin tam, to hetera. So it's allowed. The Tosas has a problem with that, and he moves away from that for the Maskana. But you see the principle. And can you think of another case which is even more nogea to us? Well, hopefully not. It's not so nogea. But right, Erev Pesach. Right, the final time of eating chametz is 9:59. At 9:30, I cook up some water in my pot, which I use for porridge. I used my pot for porridge this morning. It's a clean pot, 100% clean. I cut water in it. And I want to use that water for my salt water seder night. Right? Have I got a problem?
It's chametz stick.
It's chametz stick, but how chametz stick is it? What level of taste is that water? Chametz water? It's Ben Yomoy. You're right, it's Ben Yomoy. But what level of taste? Is it Tam Rishon? Is it Tam Sheni? So So think about it. Let's follow the path of this porridge of the hummus. You cook porridge in the pot. It gave a taste into the water of the pot. And now I cook water. It came out into the water. So how far removed is it? It's twice removed, isn't it? It went into the pot, from the pot into the water. So that's tam sheni. It's tam sheni, and at this point, at 9:30 in the morning, is it is or is it heta? It's heta. It's still heta. Comes along 9:59, and the issa of chometz comes along. It can't descend onto this chometz in the water. Why? Because it's too weak. It's already two tastes away. So therefore, that water is actually kasher lepesach.
I don't understand that. Why is it not being
Ben Yomo? No, wait a minute. It is Ben Yomo. You're right. It is Ben Yomo. The whole time we've been discussing, most of the time we've been discussing, we're talking about something which is Ben Yomo, but still, it's got too far removed from the original taste to make a problem. Let's say then the case of the milk and the meat. I've got a Ben Yomo pot which I just used 5 minutes ago for meat, and now I've got this taste of the meat in my pasta, right? Not the taste of the meat mamash, but the taste that's gone through the wall of the pot. Since it went into the wall of the pot and came out, it's two states removed. It's all Ben Yomo, but it's too far removed to create a prohibition. So when now I take this pasta and it's got a secondary taste, and no sintamba, no sintamba fleshik, and I put it with milk, it can't create an issa of vasa v'chalav, because it's too far removed. That's what Shmuel is saying in the Gemara. And the same thing is true of the chometz. It's two states removed from the original porridge. The porridge went into the water of the pot, out into the water, and at this stage, it's all before Pesach. When Pesach comes along, it stays mutter. Now there's the machlokas about this, but this chazanist says we pass it like this. It's a very surprising thing. I don't think anyone else would dream of doing it. Can you imagine why I'm telling you? Oh, by the way, this charosis, comes from. But that is an example of nosen tamban, nosen tam to heteros. So it's not only a question of taking milk and meat. I'm combining milk with a secondary taste of meat. It doesn't create an issa. It's also true of where it's not a new combination, it's just an issa trying to descend upon the chometz. It can't descend upon this chometz because it's two stages removed. In the last minute, I should tell you a very important limitation to this whole halacha, and that is the very common situation of something harif, something sharp. That overrides all of this. It overrides the nat ba nat to hetera because it's much more powerful. It brings stuff out. So, for example, if you have you cut onions with a fleshik knife, those onions are properly fleshik, and there's no heterium to have it with milkings. Another example, which is quite common, is if you have your chrein, you've got a liquidy chrein. Now, liquidy stuff counts as kovash, as pickling, and you put a fleshik spoon in your chrein, that chrein becomes fleshik. Okay, so that is a very important limitation, that all this din of lo satam ba lo satam does not apply when it comes to davar charis, to sharp things like. What? No, that's another point. Thank you for reminding me. That's another powerful thing that the charis says. It overcomes the ein ben yom. It resuscitates the food. What? Forever. So when the archaeologists bring out this thing and they say this was used in the times of the first place of Mikdash, don't do anything harif in it because it could cause problems. We hope that they will keep kosher in the times of the first place of Mikdash. Okay, thank you very much for listening to this little. Okay. The glasses, right. Yes, the glasses would be mutter. Why? Because this Qumrah of Nat Ba Nat will not apply in a keli sheni. Although we're machmen, we say that if you use treif in a keli sheni, right, it creates a problem, but it's a chumrah, so we're not machmen for the glasses. If you use the glasses in a keli sheni, it wouldn't make a problem with your coffee. So drink. What? In a microwave, that would be keli sheni, that would be a problem, yes. You're right. Go. Thank you.